Shalom, welcome to the Jewish Task Force, JTF. My name is Chaim Ben Pesach. This video is dedicated to elevating the souls of Simcha Chasdai, Pesach Vansir, Harab Meir Kahana, Bari Hoffman, Ruven Hoffman, and Yosef Ben Meir. This is going to be the first weekly JTF program that we do in years without the Ask JTF questions. We usually had a program that we called Ask JTF where I did an opening where I discussed the week's events. And then afterwards, we had questions from our great JTF members. This is going to be the first time in years where we're not going to have the questions from our great JTF members. And I very much regret that we have to change the format here. We have to do it because of time constraints. Doing the opening plus the questions from our great JTF members, that program was over an hour every week. And just to compile the video and prepare the video and do all the other things that have to be done, it took a full day. It took a full day, and we just can't spare that amount of time right now because we're very busy on many different projects that we're involved with. So for the foreseeable future, we have to change the format. We're still going to do our weekly updates for JTF members, our important messages for JTF members, as you're going to see on this program with this video now. We're going to be doing this, God willing, Bezrat Hashem, Bli Neder, we're going to be doing this every week, but we can't take the questions from our great JTFers. I love the questions from our great JTFers, and I know many people enjoyed that program, but because of time problems and time constraints, we have no choice. We just can't do it. I regret it, but unfortunately we can't do it. But I still think that the program that you're going to see now will still be very important, and the videos we're doing, where we're going to update people every week, we're going to be giving you videos, God willing, updating what's going on, world events and other events that are important from our perspective. I think that that will be something that will be very valuable and that people will enjoy watching. Let me start off by speaking about a post that was put on our English Facebook page, on our English main page, jtf.org. A post that was actually put on those pages by our Israeli administrator. Our Israeli administrator, who usually deals with the Hebrew pages, with our Hebrew page and our Hebrew Facebook site, this time decided to put a post on the English language Facebook page and on the English main page. And the post involved a mosque where Muslim terrorists were firing on Russian soldiers, on the Russian army. And the Russian army and Russian soldiers, under orders obviously from Russian dictator Vladimir Putin, responded to being fired upon from that mosque by completely leveling and destroying the mosque. Not being concerned that it's a so-called Muslim holy place. Not being concerned about so-called Muslim civilians, because as we all know, the Muslim civilians support the Muslim terrorists and cooperate and assist the Muslim terrorists. So not being concerned about so-called Muslim civilians and not being concerned about the fact that it's a so-called Muslim holy place, the Russian army, acting like a normal army would have to act, decided that it was not going to allow its soldiers to be in danger of being killed or injured. And so they leveled the entire mosque, killing everybody in the mosque, and just leveled the mosque. And our Israeli admin put that post on the English Facebook page. It's still there now if you go to the English Facebook page. And it's still on our English main page on jtf.org. He put the post on there showing these four pictures of the destroyed mosque after the Russian army decided to respond to this Islamic terrorism, to Muslim terrorists firing on their soldiers from the mosque. Now, of course, the emphasis of the story was not just the fact that the Russians are destroying a mosque and how the Russians respond to Islamic terrorism. The emphasis of the story was the difference between the Russian response and the way Barack Hussein Obama would respond if American soldiers were fired on. And even more glaring would be the difference in response if the Israeli army was fired on, because the Israeli army allows its soldiers to be slaughtered, allows its soldiers to be murdered, rather than touch so-called holy Muslim mosques, which are places where the Muslim imams preach the annihilation of all non-Muslim infidels. And Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, Bibi Netanyahu, and the so-called Defense Minister of Israel, Moshe Yaalon, who is an evil person, these two so-called leaders of Israel allow Israeli soldiers to be slaughtered, rather than firing back when they're attacked from mosques, from homes of civilians, or from other places where they've decided that you're not allowed to fight back. If the Muslim terrorists attack you from these areas, you're not allowed to fight back. And so many, many Israeli soldiers have been slaughtered over the years because of this insane policy. So the purpose of the post from the Israeli admin was to show the difference between how the Russian army, where people are normal, react when their soldiers are fired upon, versus how the insane, self-hating Jews who run the Israeli army, Tzahal, yes, Tzahal, is run by left-wing, self-hating generals who allow their soldiers to be massacred, and by a Prime Minister, Benjamin Netanyahu, and a Defense Minister, Moshe Yaalon, who have allowed thousands of Jewish soldiers to be murdered and seriously injured because they're so worried about Muslim casualties, about the casualties of the enemies of the Jewish people. So the purpose of the post was to show the difference between sane leaders. Vladimir Putin is an evil person. He's a cruel, evil dictator, but he's sane. At least he's sane. Netanyahu, Yaalon, the Israeli army, are insane. They're insane. They let their soldiers be slaughtered because they're more worried about the lives of Muslim Nazi terrorists and their civilian supporters and collaborators. They're more worried about the lives of the Muslim Nazi enemies of the Jewish people than they are about the lives of their own soldiers who are trying to defend the Jewish people. And so that was the purpose of the post, to show this. And surely enough, the response was tremendous. Let me just read you some of the things that happened, and you can see it for yourself if you go to the post now. It's on our English main page. It's also on our English main page, JTF.org, and it's also on our English Facebook page, if you go to our English Facebook page. On our English Facebook page, the post got, as of now, as of when we're doing this taping of this video, 587 likes. 1,313 shares. That means 1,313 Facebook account members shared, either organizations or people or whatever. 1,313 so far. 1,313 different Facebook pages shared this post. Shared this post exposing the difference between how Putin and the Russian army responds to Islamic terrorism versus the wimpy, pathetic, appeasing, disgusting response of the Israeli army and of Netanyahu. 1,313 shares on different Facebook pages. Now this figure you can't see, only we can see it as admins. You can't see this particular figure, but we see it as admins. As of the last time that I checked, 108,475 people on Facebook have seen this post, have looked at the post. 108,475 people. So it's over 108,000 people have seen the post. So we're spreading the word, finally spreading the word, finally, about how crazy the policies of Netanyahu and Yaalon and Naftali Bennett and Aryeh Deri and Avigdor Lieberman. Lieberman was in the prior government that did the same thing. Lieberman was also part of Ehud Olmert's government that did the same thing. All of these leaders are all part of the same rotten, decaying, corrupt leadership in Israel that has allowed Israeli Jewish soldiers to be slaughtered. Slaughtered by the thousands. And we showed the difference between that and a normal army, the Russian army. So that was something that was quite successful. I just did a video now in Hebrew that we just put up today, earlier today. I just did a video in Hebrew now with the same message in Hebrew now so that Israeli Jews can see it in Hebrew. And we're spreading that now in Hebrew. I think it's very important. And you know, we're the only ones bringing this message to the people of Israel in this manner. We're the only ones really doing this. That's pathetic, the fact that we're the only ones really doing it, but it's the truth. And you see how much response there is when we do bring this message out. When people see this message, you see that it resonates with the people of Israel and with people in the United States when we do reach them with our message. The question is how many people can we reach? But it does resonate with a lot of people. With every sane person, who sees this can't believe their eyes. They say, why isn't Israel and the United States, why doesn't Israel and the United States do the same thing that the Russian army does when they encounter Islamic terrorism? Nobody could understand this insanity. So, I think this week we again got a little bit of an illustration into how effective our message could be if only enough people could see it. If enough people could see it, we would change Jewish history. If instead of thousands of people seeing our messages every week, millions were seeing. Right now, thousands are seeing us every week between our videos and our Facebook pages and our presence on YouTube and our main pages and our forums. Between all of it put together, we have thousands of Jews in Israel see it and thousands of Americans see it. But if instead of thousands it was millions, if millions were seeing it, there's no question. There's no question that we would change. We would certainly change Jewish history. I have no doubt that we could save the state of Israel and the Jewish people. Someday millions will see it. Someday. I don't know when, but someday that will happen. There was another interesting piece of news this week on the political front, because as you know, we support Ted Cruz for president. He's the only candidate running for president who really takes the appropriate stand on the Iranian nuclear terrorist threat. We have the threat of an Iranian nuclear holocaust, God forbid. And Ted Cruz has the right position on Iran. He has said that he has said that the United States is going to tell the Iranians you have to voluntarily dismantle your program or we'll go in and do it for you. In other words, he's saying he's going to take military action to stop them if they don't voluntarily agree to dismantle their program in a verifiable way, which of course they're not going to agree to. But he's saying if you don't do that voluntarily, we're going to go in and do it for you. So he's taking the right stand, and he has consistently made this the centerpiece of his national security agenda. And that's why he deserves our support. Just on that issue alone, he deserves our support, aside from the fact that he's good on the other issues. So we are strongly supporting Ted Cruz for president. And you know, we've been supporting him since 2013. We've been supporting him now for a long time. We've been supporting him for a couple of years now. He was getting 3% in the polls. He was just at 3% in the polls, and he was being written off. 3%, 4%, sometimes 2% in Iowa and New Hampshire, national polls. He was just not even a serious contender. And people were saying to us, Chaim, you know, you're supporting somebody who isn't going to get anywhere. Everybody was saying he had no chance. Baruch Hashem, thank God. This week, it looks like he does have a chance after all. I don't know if he's going to win, but he does have a chance. He certainly has a chance. The latest Quinnipiac poll in Iowa. Iowa's the first state that's going to vote, so you win the first state, God willing, then you get momentum, hopefully, going into the other. You get ahead of steam, you get momentum going into the other states. God willing. In Iowa now, here's the latest Quinnipiac poll results. Donald Trump, 25%. Ted Cruz, 23%. Ben Carson, 18%. And so on, and then it goes down from there. So in other words, they're in a virtual tie. Trump 25%, Cruz 23%. He's almost tied now with Trump. He's gaining very quickly, and he's almost tied now with Donald Trump in Iowa. And he has a very strong ground game, a very strong organization in Iowa to bring voters out on for the caucuses. So it now looks like Ted Cruz has a real chance. If this continues, he has a real chance even of overtaking Trump and of winning in Iowa. He has a shot. I'm not saying for sure it's going to happen. I'm not a prophet or the son of a prophet, as we say. It's an expression in Hebrew. But I'm not a prophet, so I can't say what his final vote is going to be. But I can tell you that according to the polls right now, it looks like he has a realistic chance. He has a shot at possibly winning in Iowa. And if he wins in Iowa, you never know. He could get momentum like a rocket going into the rest of the states and caucuses and have a chance possibly of winning the nomination. So the situation looks a lot better than it did when he was at 3%, and we were still loyally supporting him. Remember all these years? We were speaking about Ted Cruz since 2013. Nobody else was. Everybody else said, nah, he could never get anywhere. He's not a serious candidate. Now we're seeing the people of Iowa being exposed to him. They see he's the best debater, the best speaker, the most talented candidate, and the only true conservative running, the only true consistent conservative running. So, you know, he seems to have a shot right now at actually winning in Iowa, and that would be a big boost to winning the nomination, God willing. By the way, to show you how JTF can have an influence on something like Iowa, here we can have an impact. And you may say, well, Iowa, you're not in Iowa. And that's true, we're not in Iowa. We do actually have a couple of people who are members of JTF from Iowa, but we don't have a major JTF presence physically in Iowa. That's true. But we can influence Iowa, and I'll tell you how. God willing, I hope we can influence Iowa, and I'll tell you how. It's something called the internet. Through the internet, we can reach people in Iowa with our message. And let me just show you how important that could be. 4 years ago, you know who won the Iowa caucuses? Rick Santorum. He ran. Mitt Romney came in second. They were almost tied. Listen to this. 121,501 Republicans voted in the Iowa caucuses in 2012. Because most Republicans don't vote in the caucuses. You have to go out. It's a freezing cold February night. You know, it's on February 1st, so it's freezing cold in the middle of the winter in Iowa, and Iowa winters are brutal. And you have to go out for several hours and argue your point in a caucus. A caucus is not just casting a vote. You have to stay there and argue your point with other people until a final vote is tabulated by all the people in that caucus. So it's a chore. It's a task. And most Iowa Republicans don't go. 121,000 cast their votes 4 years ago. Just 121,000 in the whole caucus. Rick Santorum won with 29,839 votes to 29,805 votes for Mitt Romney. In other words, Santorum beat Romney by just 34 votes. Now, that means that Santorum and Romney came in first and second place with less than 30,000 votes apiece. So if you can influence thousands, if you can influence a few thousand voters, that's a big deal in Iowa. In the Iowa caucuses, that's a big deal. And that has a huge impact. I know it's crazy. Why does something so small have such a big impact upon the Republican presidential nomination? It seems crazy, but that's how it works. That's the system. And that means we can have an impact if we can just influence these evangelical Christian voters. Most of the voters in the Iowa caucuses are evangelical Christians, so they should be natural supporters of Ted Cruz, who is also an evangelical Christian. His father is an evangelical Christian pastor, a Baptist pastor for many years, and certainly on the issues that evangelical Christians would be concerned about, Ted Cruz has the best positions on those issues. There's no doubt about that. And he's the most effective candidate on all of those issues. So if we can influence just a few thousand voters in Iowa, that definitely can change the results. Now, how many people in Iowa are watching our videos and coming? Yeah, you know, that right now, I don't think it's a lot. Right now, I think it would be very few. But we've put Iowa into our tag words. We're putting Iowa and caucuses. We're putting all the right tag words in to attract people that are looking for videos or looking for sites that deal with this. So I think we're going to attract some people. I think we're going to attract some people from Iowa. They're going to be seeing our videos, which are very powerful videos on behalf of Ted Cruz. They're going to be seeing this. And maybe we can swing and sway some voters. Look, if 120,000, 130,000 people show up and that's it, even if you sway, let's say, 1,000 or 1,500 voters, that's like 1% of the vote. That's changing 1% of the vote. And if the vote is close, that could be the difference between victory and defeat. It could be the difference between coming in first place or second place. It could be important. So we're going to do our best. We want to make an impact. Join with us. Help us, because we want to influence the Iowa caucuses. And then 8 days later is the New Hampshire primary, another contest where a small group of Republican voters and in New Hampshire, the independents can also vote. Republicans and independents voting in the Republican primary, a relatively small group in a state without a large population, again, will have a huge impact upon the Republican presidential nominating process. So we're going to try to influence things. We're going to try to influence things. We urge you, help us, join us as a team. We're going to try to make a difference in this race to push Ted Cruz forward, to help Ted Cruz win. And again, if 120,000 people are voting, or even if, let's say this time it's more, let's say this time it's 150,000, and we just get 1,500 people to vote for Ted Cruz who weren't going to vote for him before, if we convince 1,500 people, that's 1% of the vote. That's something. You know, people, you saw Rick Santorum won by only 34 votes last time when he beat Mitt Romney in the race. And that kept Rick Santorum in the Republican nominating contest for many more primaries and caucuses, even though he had almost no money and no support. But that, what he got from Iowa, gave him a boost. And by the way, in the beginning, it's a long story. In the beginning, they actually said that Mitt Romney won because they didn't count it right. They said Mitt Romney won by 8 votes. But still, the fact that Santorum ran a strong race and was virtually tied with Romney, that gave him a boost and enabled him to continue to run later on in other states. So we're hoping that with Ted Cruz is much stronger than Rick Santorum was. Ted Cruz has plenty of money. He's raised a lot of money. And he has a big grassroots organization in many states. So he's a serious candidate. If he can win in Iowa, he has a chance, a real chance at winning the nomination, God willing. He has a chance. I'm not saying, by the way, that it will happen, but he does have a chance. It's certainly not hopeless. It's certainly something where there is a realistic path where you can see him possibly winning the nomination. So we're going to do everything we can to try to make that happen. I want to say one other thing about Donald Trump, who in the national polls continues to be the front runner. And this is really, really astounding that people are so crazy and so insane. There are two candidates that are just inexplicably running strongly in Republican polls. And it's beyond understanding. Donald Trump and Ben Carson. My name is Ben Carson. Yeah, I be running for president. Oh, yeah. And he go like this with his hands when he be speaking. Mm-hmm. He grew up in Detroit. Yeah, Ben Carson. Yeah, he was on welfare. And he tried to hit his mother with a hammer in the head. Mm-hmm. You know, and his candidacy is so absurd. He is so uninformed. He is so dumb on the issues. He is dumb. Dumb, dumb, dumb. And he's being taken seriously as a candidate for president. He has no idea what the hell he's talking about. This is all a joke. And he's being taken seriously as a candidate for president. Now, he's finally going down in the polls. Let's hope this continues. People are finally saying, hey, this guy doesn't understand foreign policy. Oh, now you know he doesn't understand foreign policy, you idiots? How long did it take you to figure that out? Foreign policy, he doesn't understand any policy. And then we have Donald Trump. Now, Donald Trump, something he's doing that is really, really disturbing. You know that we believe that we have to expose the fact that Islam is not a religion of peace. That the problem is the Quran, and the problem is the Islamic religion. The Islamic religion and the Quran preach jihad. They preach worldwide conquest by force. They preach, and it's clear in the Quran, it's very clear in the Quran, that every Muslim is commanded to exterminate all non-Muslim infidels or forcibly convert them. That is what Islam teaches. That's what Muhammad did in the Arabian Peninsula. Exterminate the non-Muslim infidel or forcibly convert him. Force him to convert to Islam. One of those two. And so, for decades, we Kahanists have been trying to educate people about the truth of what is written in the Quran and the truth that anybody can see or check for themselves. And Donald Trump is undermining our effort to expose what Islam is, what the Muslims are all about. I'll tell you why. Because he's saying things about the Muslims that are just not true, and when it's exposed it's not true, it makes the Muslims look good. For instance, he says there were thousands of Muslims celebrating on their rooftops and dancing in the streets in Jersey City and in Paterson, New Jersey on 9/11. When they saw the Twin Towers coming down, thousands of Muslims were openly celebrating on their rooftops and dancing in the streets. Now, there is no doubt the Muslims did celebrate on 9/11 and did support and were thrilled to see what was done when 3,000 innocent Americans were murdered on 9/11. They loved it. There's no question the Muslim world did love seeing that. But they did not publicly in large groups come out and celebrate in New Jersey. They didn't do that because they were afraid. If you remember at that time, the American people were furious. And the Muslims were afraid to come out publicly and do that. And they know they would have gotten into trouble legally at that point also because they would have been arrested for supporting terrorism. So they did not do that publicly. And the rumors, there were some rumors that some of that took place publicly, and it didn't check out. The police checked it and found that it didn't happen. The FBI checked it. Local elected officials. It didn't happen. It did not happen that they were publicly doing this in New Jersey. Privately, there's no doubt in my mind that they... Look, the Jersey City Muslims, in the Mosque of Peace, it was called, with Sheikh Rahman, the blind cleric, they're the ones that blew up the World Trade Center the first time in 1993. So they do support Islamic terrorism, and they were happy about what happened. And Muslims around the world were celebrating. A Gallup poll, you see how stupid Donald Trump is? Instead of saying, hey, there was a Gallup poll in Saudi Arabia that showed 95% of the Saudis supported this. Instead of saying that, he's making up stories about things that we can easily check and see did not happen. And then he says, they ask him, prove it, prove that it happened. You know what he says? It was on television, I saw it on television. Now, you can check and go back. Television is something that you can check. I mean, television, if it was on television, then somebody could get it from either from one of the TV stations, either local stations or the network television stations. Somebody could go back to 2001 and easily get it. It was not on television. And it did not, there were not public celebrations like this. So what he's doing is, he's making it sound like those of us, like JTF, those of us like our movement, who are trying to expose Islam, who are trying to expose what the Muslims are about, he's making it sound like we're all a bunch of liars. When we say things that are true about the Muslims, it's like the boy who cried wolf now. Because he's making it sound like the Muslims, are, you see, they're innocent. All the things you believed about them aren't true. This is how it's coming out now. He is hurting us badly. His candidacy is a disaster in every way. Of course we have to expose Islam. Of course we have to expose what the Muslim fifth column in the United States represents. We have to expose those things. But you can't make up stories and then people check the stories and the stories check out false and then the Muslims look like they're innocent people being blamed for something that never happened. That's a disaster. And that's what Donald Trump is doing. That's just one example of the type of terrible things that he's doing. You don't help the cause by making things up and then being proven false. It's being proven false, and you make the other side look like they're the good guys and make us look like the bad guys. You hurt us terribly when you do something like that, and that is what Donald Trump is doing. He did the same thing, by the way, with the statistics on black crime. He listed statistics. Did you see the thing? He did a retweet listing statistics on black crime that was actually prepared by a neo-Nazi. And it was and the statistics were all made up. Just completely made up. I mean, blacks do commit crime way out of proportion to their numbers. And we do want to expose those facts before the American people. But you don't just put in statistics that are completely made up, that are nonsense. Because then they say, oh, you see, the blacks are really not committing so much crime. It's really a lot. That's the narrative that the left-wing media and that our enemies are able to present to the American people when you have an idiot like Donald Trump putting up statistics that are just made up, that are nonsense. You don't do things like that. You have to get your facts straight. When you make an argument, you have to get your facts straight. And it's just one out of many things that he's doing that are very harmful in this campaign. Very, very harmful. God forbid if he wins the Republican nomination, which he might. He might win the nomination. God forbid if he gets a nomination, Hillary Clinton will definitely be the next president of the United States. She will win by a landslide. They will have so much on him. There's no way the majority of the American people would vote for him with all the ammunition that he's given to all, to the media, to the Democrats, to many, by the way, many Republicans will not vote for him if he's the Republican nominee. Many Republicans will not vote for him. So, you know, there's no way he can win. There's no way he can win. If he can get the nomination, that he can get, but he's not going to win. He's not going to win against Hillary in the general election. Oh, what a disaster. Oh, what a disaster. So we got to help Ted Cruz. Ted Cruz has a chance of beating him in Iowa. That might puncture his candidacy badly. If, you know, because he keeps saying he's a winner. I'm ahead in all the polls, he says. He's always bluffing and, you know, bragging. If Donald Trump loses, he can't say, I'm a winner. You see, I'm leading everywhere. I'm winning everywhere. Which is his shtick, which is what Donald Trump does in all of his speeches. He'll give a 60-minute speech, and half the speech is about how he's winning everywhere. If he loses, if he's actually beaten, when the real votes come in, that could really puncture him and possibly can lead to Ted Cruz winning the nomination, God willing. I think there's a chance of that, and we've got to do everything we can to help Ted Cruz accomplish that. So those are the things we're doing. We're exposing just examples. We're exposing the differences between how the Russian army reacts to Islamic terrorism versus the Israeli army and the United States army, but especially the Israeli army is even worse than the American army or any other army. I mean, just the worst is the Israeli army. What they allow Israeli soldiers to suffer because they're so worried about hurting their enemies. I mean, just the sickness is just beyond description. We're exposing that, and we're exposing things in the presidential election that we hope will help Ted Cruz. JTFers, what a critical time this is. Let's work together as a team. We can make a difference if we work together as a team. If we all decide we're going to pitch in and we're going to make a difference, we can make a difference. We can make a difference if we all fight together and fight together vigorously and do everything in our power. There are four things that I'm going to ask that you do. Number one, we need your prayers. Please pray for our success. Pray for our success in everything we're trying to do for Israel, for America, and for the righteous people throughout the world. Please pray for our success. Prayer is very, very important. Second, if you see us put up Hebrew or English videos, help promote those videos everywhere. On Facebook, on Twitter, on YouTube. We have a great Twitter account, by the way, on YouTube, everywhere. Help us promote those videos if you see us put up videos in Hebrew or in English. Even if you don't speak Hebrew, you can still help promote the Hebrew video. That's number two. Number three, go to our main pages. If you speak Hebrew, go to our main pages, hayamin.org, hayamin.org. Go to our Hebrew main page, participate, comment on the Hebrew main page if you speak Hebrew. If you don't speak Hebrew, at least go to our English main page, a great page that Shlomo is doing a wonderful job on, jtf.org. Comment, participate. If you check it every day, if you comment, if you participate, that will boost us in the search engines. That's important for the English main page, jtf.org. Fourth, which is last but not least, of course we need your financial support. The more financial support we get, the more we can do. You know, we just sent out support to the family of Rabbi Kahana's grandson. And we support prisoners in Israel. We support Jews that are trying to fight for the land of Israel in Judea and Samaria. For many years, we've been involved in this. We try to help the good people of Israel. And we're trying to bring truth to the people of Israel. You can't find an organization that stands for the truth as we do and fights for the truth as we do and pays the price. Look at the price I paid. I'm 20 years now. I'm banned from setting foot in Israel. They told me 20 years ago, you just condemn Rabbi Kahana and say you've changed and then you get into Israel. I won't do that. I'm not, God forbid, I would never do that. I would never condemn my leader and my rabbi. And so we pay a very heavy price sometimes, but there has to be one movement that stands for the truth and that doesn't compromise. There has to be one Jewish movement that does that, and that all righteous Jews and righteous Gentiles will support. If we become a mass movement, what a better world this would be. Every check and money order and cash donation that you sent to our post office box makes a difference. It strengthens us. It enables us to reach more people. It enables us to give more help to the Jews that we do help in Judea and Samaria. It enables us to do the things that we have to do. The stronger we are, the stronger our cause, our movement, and the issues that we promote become. The more people we're reaching, the more Jews we're able to assist. Now, of course, you can help us by sending a check or a money order or cash donation to our post office box. God bless the great JTFers who are doing that on a regular basis. Or you can help us online. If it's more convenient for you to do it online, you can do it with your credit card online very conveniently. You just go to hayamin.org, and on top there's a donate button in English. You click on the donate button, and in several minutes you can very conveniently donate and help our cause. Very conveniently online, if that's what you prefer, if you prefer to do it that way. So whether you do it with your credit card online, or whether you do it by sending a check or a money order or cash donation, either way it makes no difference to us. It helps the cause, it makes us stronger, it enables us to reach more people, it enables us to help more people who really need our help, whom nobody else is giving money to or helping. We help the people that in most cases nobody else helps, or very few people help. And they're the most righteous and wonderful and sacrificing people that you in the world that you would ever see. So help us. Let's fight together as a team. Let's make a difference. We're going to see now, in the upcoming months, we're going to see what happens with Ted Cruz. We're going to see what happens in the presidential election, if we can have an impact on that election. We're going to try our best. You know, as our great leader, Harav Meir Kahana, Zecher Tzadik VeKadosh Livracha, Hashem Yikom Damo, Rabbi Meir Kahana, may his name and memory be immortalized, and may God avenge his blood. The great Rabbi Kahana always used to say, on Yom Hadin, on the Day of Judgment, you're not going to be judged by whether or not you succeeded. If you tried your best and did everything you could, and even if you supposedly failed, you're not going to be judged in a bad way for that. You will be judged if you don't do your best, if you don't try. And by the way, even when you supposedly fail, you're not really failing. Because you never know what the consequences of your actions will be. God remembers. Everything you do, God remembers. Every time you said a prayer and you think your prayer wasn't answered, you never know in the future what the fact that you said that prayer will lead to in the future. You never know. You may think that temporarily something hasn't been answered, but you never know what it will lead to. Every good deed, every prayer, every good thing you do has consequences that are positive. Just as every bad thing you do, God forbid, has consequences that are negative. And you don't always see them at once, because we'd lose our free will if you saw everything at once. But in the end, there is reward for the good and punishment for the bad. God is a just God, a loving God, a compassionate God. And again, a God of truth and a God of justice. So we have to try our best and fight for what's right. And if we all do that as a team, I'm convinced we can make a difference, Be'ezrat Hashem, God willing, to make this a better world. Until next week, for the Jewish Task Force JTF, I'm Chaim Ben Pesach. Shalom.